Storyline with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Femi Abebefe here alongside my man Mike Palm, VP of Operations, and our VSiN NFL analyst. Mike Pritchard played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick to the Atlanta Falcons, and a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes in the early 90s. Gentlemen, this is our final Football Friday of 2023. What a ride it's been. How are we doing this morning? As we get set to enter in the new year coming up this weekend?
I'm exhausted. I'm not going to lie. Usually about the end of the year, though, as you gear up for the next year, 2024, you're probably feeling exhausted.
Yeah.
I think there'll be some nice energy in here today and on to New Year's Eve and then certainly into 2024.
Well, this is a huge weekend.
Yeah.
That extends through Monday, obviously. So people started to come to town actually Wednesday night.
Yep.
And, you know, we got a full bowl lineup today. Two of the New Year's Six tomorrow, in addition to Detroit at Dallas. Then you have your NFL Sunday. And then Monday is really the crescendo of it.
Right.
But let's not forget New Year's Eve will be like an 18-hour day for most people because it falls on a Sunday. So we're here at 8 in the morning and probably go home at 2 a.m. We have two parties here. For the first time, one at the D and one at Circa. Last year was the first time we didn't do one at the D in my 17 years. We did it here, but there's so much demand. We had like 200 people who couldn't get in, so now we're going to have 250 over there and about 600 here. So 6 to 9 there, 7:30 to 10 here. So, and then, you know, about 2 a.m., Derek will try to get a few hours sleep, and then they're flying out at 6 a.m. to go to Pasadena.
Wow.
He's taking a crew. I think he's got pretty good seats. He said about 20 rows up midfield Michigan side.
So that'll be solid.
Yeah. Very solid. Yeah.
That's going to be a good time there. But I mean, hopefully we can mix in some naps here.
I asked him yesterday on primetime between the kibitzing when they came on in the final hour. I said, if you could only have one wish, would it be the Lions win the Super Bowl or Michigan wins the national championship? He said the Lions win the Super Bowl.
How about that? Michigan's won, I mean, 97.
He said, well, if I only had one wish, I'd ask for two wishes, which was a good answer.
That's a great answer, actually.
We all remember 97. Like, Michigan has that. Like, you want the Lions to win the Super Bowl. That's a no-brainer. 90,
yeah. I said, half a national title since 48. I guess that's good enough for the Michigan
in
people.
In the year that produced Bye Bye Barry, too, the Lions.
It is.
How about that? If that could happen. I mean, the storylines in the National Football League, that's why it just blew the NBA out the water Christmas Day. We know that, right, from a rating standpoint. But if people want to know what's the magic formula of the NFL, it's like these storylines get created out of nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like you just wonder if they'll be able to cap it off talking about the Lions and how magical the season could be. But it's captivating. Each and every year in the National Football League is captivating.
You know, about a month ago, Pritch, the NFL came out and said, because Christmas, it's leap year, goes to Wednesday. So Tuesday, New Year, Christmas Eve, Wednesday. Would they play again? This was before we saw these ratings. And they said, we have no interest on a Tuesday, Wednesday. You think they'll reconsider that after those ratings?
Oh,
I mean, they
goodness.
Took it away from the NBA
they
this
did,
year.
They did.
I would think the owners might be saying, we want to do it again.
I hope they don't reconsider, just because from a competitive advantage standpoint, like,
Wednesday
playing
game.
The Wednesday before the final week of the regular season. What if that game's an important game? Like, it's to me, that seems a little bit strange, but I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll go ahead and do it. Like you said, the ratings were through the roof on Christmas Day.
And the 17-game schedule is making the last 2 weeks of the season a must watch anyway.
100%. And all the division games backloaded. Mm-hmm. So, like, nothing's really clinched until you kind of get to week 16, 17. It's all sorts of fun. We have a fun show on deck for you guys over these 2 hours, though. Coming up in 30 minutes, our buddy Carl Johnson, Jick Jack, sportsbook director over at the Beau Rivage in Biloxi. He will be joining us to let us know what's going on behind the window down south. And then in hour number two at 11:30 West Coast time, 2:30 Pacific, Michael Calabrese, college football betting analyst, will join us, get his thoughts on the bowl games today, what's to come this weekend, and also maybe some stuff for Monday in the CFP between Michigan, Bama, and Washington, Texas. But Pritch, you mentioned the storylines that just pop up in the NFL. I mean, look no further than Northeast Ohio and last night with the Cleveland Browns. They beat the New York Jets 37-20. Browns clinch a spot in the playoffs. playoffs, a remarkable story and a remarkable run that this organization has been on this season here. Game flies over the total. Unfortunate for me, who had a small bet on the under, and the Browns go ahead and cover as 7-point favorites. But what were your kind of reactions from last night's action in Northeast Ohio?
Well, I keep having the question of, is Stefanski going to keep throwing the ball 40 times a game when they get to the playoffs? I think he are. I think this is what he always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he's got his dream quarterback. And he's got a guy that doesn't care. I mean, he's playing with house money. He was on a couch 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And so now that they've energized this, if the defense can travel, right, because we've seen it, it hasn't been the same on the road as it has been at home, they'll certainly be a fun team. But look at their path. They probably will go to Jacksonville, right? They're going to be the five.
Right.
They probably will go to Jacksonville, right? What's that? A pick'em? Who knows? Depends on Lawrence's ankle, right?
It's under a field goal.
They just beat them, right?
Yeah.
And if they won that, unless there's an upset with the 6-7, they'll probably go to Baltimore. Well, they hung 39 in Baltimore in Baltimore and beat them in Deshaun's land. So, like, they should have a confidence as they go into the playoffs. And, I mean, Flacco's made a whole career playing on the road in the playoffs. So,
yeah.
Suddenly, this team that looked like, wow, what a great defense. At least they made the playoffs. We got over our 9.5 wins. Suddenly, they become very live.
They
in the
do.
AFC, right?
They do. It's wide open in the National Football League, too, I think. And even though it has been top heavy, and we assume that at the beginning of the year that the two teams in the AFC, or, you know, you could probably pick those two and then three, maybe four in the NFC. But what Flacco is doing, you just said he's playing with house money. When you're this loose and you have no pressure on you, you fall asleep on the sideline, right?
How about that shot?
That tells you you relaxed, right? Where's my Gatorade? Yeah, exactly. But no, it is incredible. And now, Femi and I was talking about this, Mike, before the show. This is a Super Bowl caliber defense. Mm-hmm. And like you said, if they can travel and with the understanding that we have a Super Bowl winning quarterback,
mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Like, been there, done that.
This guy went on the road. Yep. He beat Peyton Manning and Denver. He beat those guys.
Yeah. Tom Brady.
Right. And
didn't
so
he beat him twice. Flacco beat him twice.
Exactly. So all of a sudden, that belief and that confidence just builds even more. So definitely a live situation, and the run that they're on is unprecedented. It's going to yield a lot of awards. Your market there, Femi, with what's going on with Cleveland. Femi futures of Bebefe over there.
Chandelier might be back in order.
But no, it is incredible. But I have not seen a guy or an athlete this loose. And zero pressure on him. Now, can the pressure build and will it mount and can he handle it or will he be able to handle it? Like we just talked about that. He's gone through it. So something tells me he's going to be able to handle all that pressure that's going to build.
And that's the thing. Back when he was like in his prime in Baltimore, he always thrived as the underdog. Like you mentioned, that going road throughout, beating the Broncos in Denver, beating the Patriots in Foxborough. Like they were in that underdog kind of role in that playoff run. And that's where he's thrived. And that's going to be the role that he's in this year. I mean, last night, 19 of 29, 309, three touchdowns. Did have the bad interception there.
Yeah.
But the three touchdowns and like the explosiveness of the offense, 7.4 yards per play, that just leaps off of the page there. But Pritch, you mentioned the awards, because it was a big night for a lot of awards markets, and it almost kind of felt like a Cleveland coronation, if you will, last night. Just for Defensive Player of the Year, where Myles Garrett, now over at DraftKings, is the odds-on favorite, minus 235. You saw some movement on him earlier before the game started. Then he got the sack in the game. A lot of the broadcast is about him. He's able to go to minus 235. Kevin Stefanski, now minus 275 for Coach of the Year. I mean, think about what Stefanski's done with all the guys who are on injured reserve. I mean, Watson, Chubb, Conklin, Wills, DeJuan Jones, Grant, like Delpit, Okoronkwo, like the list goes on and on for guys who are just out for the year for Cleveland. They're still able to get to 11 wins. And then Joe Flacco at Comeback Player of the Year. Now, even money behind DeMar Hamlin, whose price was like -1,000 at one point this season, now down to -150 over at DraftKings. Like, can they do the Cleveland sweep? Can they get all three awards? Like, do we think that this is possible?
Well, I actually think the one that's, even though by these odds, is the most favored is Stefanski. Because, look, their win total was 9.5. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he came into the year with a top three defense. Everybody agreed they were a top three defense, right? If somehow Houston makes the playoffs, I think what Ryan's did, their preseason was 4.5. wins. 4.5 wins.
Right.
I mean, they win 10 games and make the playoffs. I think Ryan's has a strong case. Now, we've seen these markets are often influenced by the voters, what they think should happen.
Yep.
And it was just as we saw in the Heisman race, that might not have been the reality with the voters. At least there's only 50 people that vote on these awards, not 880, yeah. Right?
Not two more digits.
Right, right.
So, because I think Flacco's going to win, and I think Garrett's going to win. But I still think Ryan's has an outside shot. That's what I would say.
Totally agree with that. Yeah. I mean, if the parameters are doing more with less, I mean, I know Stefanski's right there, right? He's doing more with less. Mm-hmm. But yet, DeMeco Ryan's in that organization and the Texans, a horrible, dysfunctional organization. And yet now you're bringing them to not only relevancy, but now you're bringing them into the playoffs. I mean, that's insane to think about from a coaching standpoint.
My only thing with Ryan's is that Stefanski did beat Ryan's last week and beat him up pretty good in the game a week ago. And I think they're just going to reward the Texans by giving Stroud offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And say that, hey, you know, like, obviously great story, go into the playoffs. Here's your reward. It's CJ Stroud as the Elroy.
I think pizza money on Ryan's at 13-1, though, okay, is not a bad play.
It's not a terrible play.
Especially if you're holding Stefanski.
Yeah,
because what more can Dan Campbell do? It's only a regular season award. They won their division. Yep. They were favored to win the division, right?
Yeah.
What if a receiver breaks a rookie receiver record, though?
So Nacua, I mean, we've seen his price shorten quite a bit over the last week or so. I think he needed Stroud to not come back.
And play it all.
If Stroud comes back, now if Stroud throws 4 interceptions, then I think Puka's cooking with gas. But if
anybody that throws 4 interceptions can never win that on the award. That disqualifies you from any award. You go from -200 to 50-1 if you throw 4 interceptions.
We saw it.
You just got brought.
You just got brought. That's what it is. It's a good way to put it. I think that's actually really funny. Stroud is the boy disaster. I do want to ask you guys about comeback when we get back on the other side, and also some other NFL news and notes. We're just getting warmed up, baby.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abbefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly, B21. Boy, them Total Wine is going to be busy over the weekend getting set for the New Year's.
Yes, sir.
It might be looking like a Black Friday sale out there at Total Wine, so make sure you get there early if you dabble into that sort of activity. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys here, presented by DraftKings, Femi Abebefe, Mike Paul, Mike Pritchard here. And as we're heading to break, I wanted to ask you guys about Comeback Player of the Year, because it sounds like both of you guys agree that Comeback Player of the Year should be Joe Flacco. Is that correct? Right now, he's even money over at DraftKings behind the favorite, DeMar Hamlin, who's been the odds-on favorite for much of the year.
It's tough because that's an award with no parameters, right? It means whatever it means. I always think it's heavily weighted what you came back from, right? Like the severity of what you came back from. Mm-hmm. So Hamlin, obviously, coming back from near death.
He wins that way.
Right? He wins that way.
Well, he did die.
But Flacco has been so outstanding coming back from being out.
Yeah.
His performance is like overcoming Hamlin's situation. And yet, I don't know I don't know what goes into the voters.
What are the voters?
Yeah. They need to lay out criteria.
They do.
What does that mean?
Yeah. So Eric Berry is the closest thing to Hamlin. And he had a life-threatening situation. Didn't actually die on the field, but he had an illness. He came back. He was all pro. And he won Comeback Player of the Year. At safety. Now, Hamlin, he hasn't played and he hasn't really been active a lot, but yet that story is incredible. How do you overlook it. He's Comeback Player of the Year in theory. But this thing with Flacco is overwhelming, though, because he's actually doing it on the field. And if you use those parameters, what is an actual contribution and what is a player doing on the field? Then, I mean, how do you ignore Joe Flacco? You can't. But if you're just looking at the body of everything, then, DeMar Hamlin probably is the Comeback Player of the Year.
And like, it's been interesting to track. I've been tracking it for all season long, to be honest. But over the last few weeks in particular, just seeing what people are saying, what the voters or people who might be voter adjacent are saying. And there's been a lot of Flacco buzz. Like, you can tell this Flacco story, Pritch, like you mentioned, has really resonated with a lot of people. Because how could it not? It's the guys coming off the couch to essentially save the season for the Cleveland Browns when everybody thought that they were done when Watson went down for the rest of the season. I do, though, think that with both the cases of Flacco and Hamlin, the games played could be a hole that you poke in both of their cases. Like Hamlin, obviously, like limited amount of games played. Flacco's only played in five games. Baker Mayfield at 10-1 right there. Like, he's the Geno Smith of this season.
Right.
Kind of kicked around the league. Now he could potentially lead the Bucs to a division title. I think if I didn't have any money, and I have money on both Flacco and Mayfield.
Of course you do.
But if I didn't have any money in this,
who don't right you have now, money? You don't have it on Baker.
Honestly, I have a little bit on Hamlin from like March.
Okay.
But I have Flacco and I have Mayfield, and those are like to win big, like right. those bets there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Tua.
Hamlin's a loser for you.
Slight loser.
Yeah.
Slight okay. loser. Tua, I never believed that. Lamar, mm-hmm. I never believed that. I don't have any Stafford, any of those guys. Yeah. I think it's pretty limited as to who people might actually vote for. But to me, if I didn't have anything in the market, I think I'd bet on Baker Mayfield right now before that they could potentially clinch the division on Sunday.
I'd like to bet if you could bet Baker Mayfield for second. I'd like to bet Baker Mayfield finishes second to Flacco.
Why don't books do that? Give us like some.
Because I think that would be a nice. It'd be a big plus price, right? Because mm-hmm. it's in the one, and I think that's actually how it's going to finish.
You throw some exact.
We need to get that. Like, message to all the sportsbooks, right. DraftKings, if you're listening here at Circa, if you guys are listening. Like, can we get some exact finishes on the awards balance? Yeah. Like, I think that'd be a fun thing to bet on.
Yeah.
Like, who knows? Maybe we'll do that in the future. But I do think that Mayfield has a strong case.
How many regions will Bo Nix win in the ice?
You know, sorry about Flacco, though.
Under 1.5.
And it's out there. It's all over social media. He's got more touchdowns than franchises do.
He does.
And so our offenses for these franchises, right? And
the Jets have 11 passing TDs. He has 13.
Yeah. I mean, Baker's story.
They're keeping Salah. The Jets are keeping. So is that a good thing?
Well, Douglas,
let's run it back.
Tied.
I don't know. Is that really a good thing? I was watching that thing. Is that really a good?
It's not.
No,
not a good thing. But they're all in.
They are.
So they're all in with these guys.
I'm sorry, Mike.
No, you're good. I was just saying. I mean, the Baker. I wonder. You know, if they do go on to win the division, will that garner more momentum? Though, I mean, the story with Flacco is just overwhelming.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a crazy story.
And he got the national spotlight game on a week where a lot of people are off, too.
Right.
Right. People are off heading into New Year's. So high ratings last night on that game.
It was a fantastic setup. But like the Cleveland coronation, like this was the exact setup that you wanted. Like my opinion, I think Coach of the Year is actually done. I think Stefanski's going to win it.
I don't even think if Ryan's goes 10-7 and makes the playoffs.
I think the injuries, the four quarterbacks, the 11 wins, I think that's too much to overcome. And I also think the defensive player of the year is done. I think Garrett's going to win that as well. Do with that information what you will. Like, if you have the bankroll that can handle it and bet minus 250 right now, like, I would honestly recommend that. Like, I think there's still value there.
You would.
I think he should be minus 1,000.
You're talking about
both Stefanski and Garrett.
Oh, wow.
Both guys.
What do you have? Did you bet this market?
I've been betting Garrett, I mean, for about a month straight or so.
How about Stefanski? Have you bet?
I bet him heavily over the last 2 weeks.
And would you continue to bet him at 250?
I would.
You would?
I would.
Wow.
Yeah. Now everyone's risk is all different. And if you want to wait till February for minus 250,
he's an experienced futures.
I now know why Femi is only monitoring most of the games every week. He's all cash is tied up in these markets.
Hey.
he's NFL honors.
Femi's always 6 months away from retiring whenever the awards are now.
Femi's going to be in the front row out here in Vegas for NFL honors.
Femi, what
go see Femi.
Week four, Femi's top 8 plays are all awards markets.
He's going to be in the front row.
And if I'm honest, I'm like, what?
Yep.
I'll be right next to Myles Garrett.
You're going
to
have a camera. There's going to be a camera on you.
Me and I'll be like, let's go, Myles. But that's what we monitor. But that's my award spiel for the day here. But some of the news and notes, we did talk about CJ Stroud. Sounds like he is back this week, able to clear concussion protocol. However, that line went right back down to 4 when you look at the Texans injury report here. Yeah. They're hosting Tennessee. Would you lay that number, or are there too many injuries, especially on the defensive side, to ever lay it with Houston in this spot?
I wouldn't want to lay 4 because I could see this game being the field goal game again. But you got one team with a real shot at the playoffs, and the other team is out, although they gave Seattle all they wanted. Probably should have beat Seattle, but now this game is in Houston. For me, the interesting part of this is, let's say you're one of those other three survivors and you're playing for $2 or $3 million, and you assume Circus Master used Cleveland. So you've got to pick. Here's your choices. Denver, you still have Denver with Stidham. You have the Texans. You have Indianapolis Colts against the Raiders. Or you have Chicago against Atlanta.
Right.
Which of those four would you choose? I think it's an interesting choice.
It is very interesting.
I would not take the Colts. No. That would be the one I draw the line through first.
Yeah.
Raiders. Even though Michael Lombardi loves the Colts.
He does love them.
The Raiders defense is legit.
What's their offense doing, though?
Nothing.
Well, it doesn't have to do anything if the defense scores 14. But you say, well, Mahomes, they turned the ball over twice. Well, you know, the Colts are prone to turning the ball over too, right?
Yeah, Minshew's absolutely.
I think the Raiders are very live to win the game, so I would not use the Colts. Yeah. I actually would either use Denver with Stidham.
Bump.
Or I'd use your guy in Chicago. Because they're playing unbelievably.
They are.
Their defense is really good.
It's really good. You can't run the ball against them. It's really good. So
Eberflus might save his job.
Those would be.
Yeah.
I'd go Stidham. I'd go that. But that's Stidham. How I roll. Like you Stidham know, I'm like, let's roll the dice here with a backup quarterback. I think Denver with Stidham would be the option. But we did actually get some quarterback news, and this is probably why the market is moving here in this game between the 49ers and the Commanders. We were in line for Jacoby Brissett to start this game, but now it has come out that Jacoby Brissett is questionable with a hamstring injury that he suffered in today's practice. So he was just added to the injury report. This opens the door for Sam Howell to potentially start here for the Commanders. Coach Ron Rivera just said, Ian Rapoport tweeted that Jacoby Brissett actually reported the hamstring injury after meetings yesterday and got treatment last night and today. So that's where we sit right now with Commanders hosting the 49ers. And right now in the market, San Francisco, a 13.5-point favorite consensus. But here at Circa, you guys have gone to 14 here, Mike. So the news with this Jacoby Brissett injury, it might be Sam Howell once again, who the Commanders wanted to bench in this game.
Yeah. To me, I know you think Brissett's an upgrade. I don't know. I think it's 6-1, half a dozen of the other from my handicapping standpoint.
Yeah, it's all about that Washington command, that defense. And, you know, are they really going to want to play this game the way that San Francisco's going to want to play this game?
Yeah.
Frisco's clearly looking at home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They want to cement that. Now, they are injured, though. The 49ers are injured. But, you know, the thing about the Commanders, the whole Caleb Williams rumors and all that. He's from that area and all that, too. So hamstrings, I mean, how much running is Brissett doing in practice for real to pull a hamstring that's going to have him out of a game? I mean, he's not.
So somebody might have made a call.
He's not running, 20-yard routes or anything like that, right? I mean, even on a bootleg, can you pull a hamstring on a bootleg?
You would know better than I.
No. No. Now, he's not the most in shape guy.
Yeah.
But still, you don't pull a hamstring in practice.
I laid 12.5 yesterday. I think even 13.5, I think it's good to lay it here with the Niners. That's my 2 cents. We'll get Jig Jack's 2 cents on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abbefe on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every NFL or bowl game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. We are always improving our betting splits and recently added soccer betting splits from around the world. I know Mike Palm is excited about that one. Betting splits are another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com/splits. Were you checking those betting splits for the Boxing Day fixtures that we had earlier this week?
Yeah, I was, actually. Yeah. It's good action right after Christmas.
It is, actually. A lot of good games in the EPL the day after Christmas. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys here from the Circa Resort and Casino. Femi Bebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here on a Football Friday. And our first guest joining us right now, it's our old buddy, Carl Jick Jack Johnson, sportsbook director over at the Beau Rivage. Jick Jack, hope the holidays have treated you well. Happy early new year to you as well. Let's start off with these CFP semifinal games, because that's what everyone's interested in, what's going to happen Monday afternoon and evening. And I want to start with the one that's nearby you over at the Superdome in New Orleans, the Sugar Bowl between Texas and Washington. Longhorns right now, 4-point favorites, total 63.5. How are they betting this for you guys here over at the Beau Rivage?
Yeah, so and we talked about today on the show yesterday, they're betting us Texas here. I think Mike said that they were betting him Washington. So that's just kind of like these, that's a regional thing now, I guess. You know, we get a lot of Texas money, a lot of Mississippi money. stuff like that. So, yeah, it's, you know, and for us, so this is one of our, so Washington for us is our best case scenario for the championship. They win it all. We're going to come out a whole lot better than we would if anybody else won it. But, yeah, good game here. You know, we're going to catch a lot of folks coming in, spending the night here at the hotel, and then going over to the game. So this is a big game for us. We'll have a good crowd. We opened Texas 4-63, and right now we're at 4-63.5. And like I said, they're betting us Texas.
You know, Jack, the intriguing matchup, obviously Alabama and Michigan. I mean, the styles of both of these teams going to be physical. We know that. I guess the respect for Saban, or is there? Are you seeing people say, "Look, Harbaugh and respect and the job that they've done up there, bringing this team into this matchup"? What are the bettors telling you so far in this matchup?
Yeah, you know, Pritch, just the way. Look, I'm a Saban fan. I mean, that's no secret. I think Saban's the best coach in college football, period. So I tend to pull for Saban. So if I was on the other side of the counter, if I was betting this game, I would bet this game. I think I would probably bet Alabama here. But let me say this. It happens about 4 or 5 times a year, I notice. So we've been getting, you know, a wave of Alabama tickets, and that's expected. No, but this line hasn't budged. I mean, we're right where we started. Michigan 1.5. The totals actually ticked up to 45, but we opened it at 44.5. But it's right where it's at. And ordinarily, you would see this line. I thought Alabama would be a favorite at kickoff. It's been stagnant. It's stale. And ordinarily, when I see something like that, it's not a good sign for Alabama here. Now, I mean, that's just my opinion. But it would not surprise me if Michigan doesn't win this game handedly, just based on how this game's being bet, Mike.
Carl, high noon tomorrow at the Benz in Atlanta. We'll see a contrast of styles as 11th-ranked Ole Miss takes on 10th-ranked Penn State. It looks like the Lane train is going to – the cupboard won't be bare from all the transfers that he's going to roll in next year.
Yeah.
What kind of action are you seeing there? Is it heavy on Mississippi because of the regionality, or here it's been good two-way action?
Yeah, same here, Mike. Look, they normally bet us, you know, the Mississippi teams and the Louisiana teams, they bet us pretty good. I thought when this schedule came out, I said, you know what, that might be, out of all of them, might be the best game on the whole docket. You know, this is going to be a good. I like both of these teams. You know, I Lane Kiffin. I think Lane wants to win. I think he's going to try to put a strong effort in. Penn State. I've been really impressed with Penn State all season. I like to play the way they play in football this year. We opened here 4-48.5. Right now it's ticked up. It's at 4.5, 50.5. So that total's kind of ticked up a little bit. I think this is going to be a high scoring game. Should be a good game. Very interested for us. We'll have a large crowd for that one, too.
Speaking with Carl Jick-Jack Johnson, sportsbook director over at the Bo Revise. Jick-Jack, before we get to the NFL, one more bowl game for you. How about Monday, the ReliaQuest Bowl over in Tampa between Wisconsin and LSU? Obviously, no Jaden Daniels. He's opted out. He's getting ready for the NFL draft. But the Tigers still laying 10 with a total of 56.
Yeah, so that's big for us. You know, they're betting us LSU, which is not unexpected. You know, and again, you know, this is one of those things where you wish that, you know, that's, you know, he's a big part of how LSU got to where they, you know, they got to this year. So they're going to be missing that. That's one of the things I just can't stand about these bowl games the way they are right now. So, but they're betting us LSU. You know, I think it's probably going to be a lower scoring game than normal. So we'll see how it goes. But right now, the line's pretty much stayed where it's at. We opened at 10-55, and right now we're still at 10-55.5.
Well, Carl, the interest in the National Football League is off the charts coming down the stretch here these last two games. Yep. Some intriguing matchups, obviously, meaningful games, as we love that. What's the most bet games that you're seeing right now?
You know, right now for us, well, they're betting this Lions-Cowboys game. You know, Cowboys always take a lot of money here. You know, the Dolphins-Ravens a great matchup. You know, we have a really good we have a really good NFL crowd here also to go along. We're probably more college oriented than we are NFL, but our NFL crowd's strong. Quite a few good important games this weekend, and they're all getting good money. But I would say Dallas right now, that Detroit-Dallas game right now has the most money in it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game tomorrow night that we were talking about to start the show. This is a fun weekend, a lot of games, bowl games, NFL stuff that's coming down in the penultimate week of the regular season. Cannot wait to take it all in. He is Carl Jick Jack Johnson, sportsbook director over at the Beau Rivage in Biloxi. Jick Jack, we appreciate it as always. Happy New Year to you, and good luck all the rest of the way.
You got it, guys. You guys have a good new year, and we'll see you in 2024.
God be with you, Carl.
There we go. 2024. It seems crazy to say 2024 out loud, but hey, the year went by pretty fast. But for you guys, with this NFL slate, Lions, Cowboys, obviously, Jick Jack said tomorrow they're going to be betting that pretty heavily. What's the action like here? I know, obviously, this has a little bit of a Detroit, Michigan kind of vibe to it here at Circa. Has anyone been betting the Lions here, or is there any Cowboy money showing up?
There will be. As we get closer to the game, there's always Cowboys fans here every week. They're everywhere.
We're like roaches.
So we'll probably get more Cowboys money in tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow. But we took Lions money, obviously concerned on the offensive line on the Cowboys. I teased last night's game with this on Tuesday. So when it was 7.5 and 6, I did a 6-point teaser. So I had Browns minus 1.5 in the second leg as this game had a pick.
That was a pick.
Yep. I just think the spot for the line, they just clinched. They're weeping on the sidelines. I mean, they're just, you know, I think it's an important game for the Cowboys to get their swagger back. You go on the road, you lose two. I know you played better in Miami, but still not finishing against good teams on the road.
The notion that Dallas is they're a different team at home. They're comfortable at home. They probably feel like we're going to win this game at home. What's the stronger notion, though, where, you know, you got the Lions. If they don't get home field advantage, you know, things are going to happen. They're probably not going to get it. They're going to have to go on the road. They're going to have to face San Francisco eventually, right? Yeah. Isn't this something that the Lions could get up for? Whereas the Dallas Cowboys, we know we play well at home. They're going to rely on the fact that they play well at home and maybe not sleeping, but just overconfident because they're back at home.
It's curious because like we've talked about, like there's almost like two sides of the brains. There's the spot side that says the spot favors Dallas, but then like the number side, 6 feels like a lot of points to me, at least, like especially with the way Dallas's defense has been playing. Like, can they really cover 6 when they have struggled to stop the run? And guess what? Detroit has a great offensive line and Jahmyr Gibbs has been awesome the last month. And David Montgomery's that smash mouth kind of running back. Like, I could see this being a very high scoring game where it's last team with the ball wins the game.
Yeah, the coaching points in the locker room from a defensive side for Dallas, this is San Francisco without San Francisco's players. We got to understand this scheme. We got to beat this scheme. So those are coaching points that certainly the Dallas Cowboys are going to gear up for. And then if you're Detroit, you got to win on the road. We haven't been that type of franchise, even go back to last year. And then, you know, this year, we have to really establish some type of dominance on the road. And it kind of starts right now against Dallas.
I mean, a road game indoors, though, is pretty nice setup for
Derek. Sure it is.
It's not no going gloves. Out to Soldier Field or anything like that in the month of December there. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night there. Lions at the Cowboys. Right now, 5.5 is the consensus, but DraftKings still has 6. So if you want to back Detroit, you know where to go ahead and do it. All right, we'll talk some college football bowl games on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Timmy Abbefe on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly, and they will get the NBA League Pass for the rest of the season. That's a great deal. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. All you gotta do is bet $5, $150 in bonus bets, and you get League Pass? Sign me up. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Bebefe alongside Mike Palm. Mike Pritchard, you're chuckling. You don't subscribe to League Pass?
I do not.
Oh, man, you're missing out.
I am watching the Pistons, though.
How great is that?
It's 17 and a half last night.
The Pistons, it's like, and people have been talking about it since it's such a long losing streak, but it is like theater, watching their games every night. And last night, I mean, they were up, what, 19 at halftime? And they ended up blowing the game in overtime and 28 straight losses. But every game's like an elimination game with the Pistons. So it's fun to take that in each and every night in the NBA. But let's talk about some bowl games, though. And we'll start with the one that's later on this evening. We'll get to the one that's about to kick off here in 15 minutes. But I want to start here with Mizzou and Ohio State, the Cotton Bowl at Jerry World. Buckeyes laying 5.5, total 50.5. Do you guys have a play in this side or a total? Or is this kind of an in-game sort of setup?
Maybe. Like the lines move because more Buckeyes are opting in than they thought were going to play. I think it's an interest. I wish that both teams were at full strength because I think Missouri, like if this were a 12-team playoff this year, those teams like the Rams and the Browns and the Bills that not the top seeds don't want to play, nobody would want to play Missouri or Arizona at this, right? Right. Those two teams, they gave Georgia everything they wanted. I don't know as far as commitments of all the players if Ohio State doesn't have the advantage in that regard. I'll take a look if Missouri's moving the football, but at full strength, this would have been a very interesting game, right? Both teams at full strength. Ohio State, what, 1.5 or 2 maybe in this game?
Yeah, I'm compelled to just end game these games. Yeah. I mean, Carl Johnson, he was spot on with that because think about, okay, use as an example, Arizona OU. I mean, Venables, he was blitzing his behind off, and okay, how much preparation did Arizona have on that? Right in the beginning. But then as there's engagement on the sideline of Arizona and you kind of figure things out and then you kind of sure things out. In other words, you coach and these players respond.
Adjustments.
So if Ohio State, you didn't know if these guys were going to opt in or opt out. You didn't know what's practice like, right? Now that they've opted in or they're going to play, are they really going to gear this up? Are they really going to turn it up and be ready for that? And then you wonder how engaged Missouri has been for this preparation for this game, right? I think there's opportunities in game because you'll be able to see that stuff, the adjustments along the way, the fact that these coaches might have a plan for adjustments along the way in these games.
I would say this. In recent history, Ohio State, when they lose the Michigan game and they're not in the playoffs, take these games seriously. These New Year's Six games, when they're left out, they've played very well in them. Yeah. Whether it was the Rose Bowl that wasn't part of it, or beating Notre Dame, you know, in a Fiesta Bowl or whatever, they've as a football organization, they take it pretty seriously.
Yeah, I mean, there's more to win though for Mizzou in terms of recruiting. Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Than if Ohio State wins this game,
especially down there in Texas.
Yeah, it's not gonna do anything for recruiting for Ohio State, but for Mizzou, this is everything for them. I think in a game like this,
I do like that point that you bring up about the Utah Ohio State game from a couple of years ago, the Rose Bowl, because like I think the assumption was that Ohio State doesn't care, they don't care, and then that was like the breakout for Marvin Harrison Jr. And Jackson Smith and Jigba, and like CJ Stroud was still playing there. It's like they're still talented. Like just because Olave and Wilson aren't playing doesn't mean that they don't have good players. So Ohio State always has guys. We're still waiting on Marvin Harrison Jr. to see if he's going to play in this game. He's been with the team. He hasn't officially opted out, so I would imagine based on the line movement that the market probably thinks he's more likely to play.
Abuka's playing.
Yeah.
Quarterback.
Trevion Henderson's playing as well. The running back.
Who's the quarterback?
Is it Devin Brown?
I think Brown is
Brown.
Have we seen Devin Brown?
We saw him and then we didn't see him anymore.
Quickly.
Read into that what you will.
Okay. 5.5. Just before our eyes, it went from 4.5 to 5.5.
There we go. So Buckeyes 5.5.
I guess Marvin Harrison's playing with this quarterback.
Yeah. Okay. Devin Brown.
Devin Brown. Where will he go in the draft? Where will Harrison go? Is he a top 10 draft pick?
Top 5.
Top 5.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He's probably the first non-QB, right?
I think so.
He's that good.
He's good. Washington, local kid.
Roma Dunze.
Dunze, he's really good, too.
Watch out for him. Sugar Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good.
Sugar Bowl MVP? Could be.
Is there a market for that?
Could be. Well, there will be.
Will there be?
There will be. Don't they do it in these games? Have the MVP of the bowl games. There's an MVP of every bowl game.
No, but I'm saying,
on the semifinals, I'll have props on him. Yeah, sure.
Maybe we'll dabble.
Right?
Maybe
we've been talking about him all year.
He's terrific.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought he should have won the Biletnikoff. They gave it to Harrison. Whatever. Let's
name.
Talk about,
name.
It means a lot.
Blame the dad. He didn't have a famous dad. It's like judgeships. So if you recognize the name,
grandfathered in. The Sun Bowl is about to kick off in about 15 minutes over in El Paso. Tim Murray's going to be down the sidelines.
He's covering for
the
bowl season, Westwood 11 or whatever that he's working for.
Westwood 11. I did. That was good.
I went up all week when I was supposed to go to six. Then it was nine. Westwood 11. I said, wasn't that nice of Stormy? I said, what a moment for Visa. And she did say your name, so it would be on ABC at least once. If you don't have fun with your coworkers,
yeah, that's
Rich,
true. Yeah, you gotta
have
fun.
What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
Gotta have fun.
Well, can we, are we gonna have fun with 11? That's what Are we going to have fun with your team, though? Because Notre Dame is taking on Oregon State. The Irish, you're five and a half point favorites.
This was 6.5 at one time. I think.
Allegedly, it opened 10.5.
Yeah, well, I've been saying in the last week, and then it was 6.5, say six yesterday. Mm. I think they're pretty deep, though, with their second string. I think I'm going to talk myself into betting Notre Dame here, probably. Well, how do you prepare with three coaches?
Are you nervous at all that you guys are laying five against three coaches? And no quarterback, really. I mean, and analysts on the side.
The lines move when the wind blows. Yeah. But, I mean, our bowl handle's down 40%. You know, and I talked with Jack yesterday when he was on primetime about, you know, we're playing defense. We're not letting anybody bet the limit until 48 hours before the game. And then they're either 10 or 20,000 is the most we're taking on. I mean, it's totally antithetical to what we do all year. We're taking 250 a game every Saturday, right? And and guys that have five times limits, two times limits, you're playing defense because they're exhibition games.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Notre Dame always the high expectations, right? And the coaching staff, they got to use this as a barometer to get to spring ball to see exactly what's going on, I would think. Where Oregon State, they're starting all over, right?
Yeah.
I that's what's nervous about this line to me because it's only five.
But what about the double revenge? They lost to them in 2001 and 2004 in bowl games.
Yes. But who
there's a double
that?
Revenge
2001
here.
Fiesta Bowl.
2001.
Jonathan Smith was quarterback.
He was the MVP of it.
I love it. Full circle here. On the Lombardi line Friday. Yeah,
MVP of the bowl.
Okay.
Hey, we're just reporting the facts. That's all we're doing. So we have that angle there for the Fighting Irish. I think these are great live betting kind of festivities. And that was sort of the situation with Utah, Ohio State a couple of years ago in that Rose Bowl. Like I live bet Ohio State because I said, oh, they care. So let me live bet them because they have better players than Utah does. And if you see that Notre Dame cares and if they're dialed in, maybe it's a potential chance to go ahead and in game. And even you have to lay it at a worse number, too. Sometimes these bowl games, they run away from teams. So we'll see what happens with that. Once again, three coaches for the Oregon State Beavers. What about the game that I don't think either team wants to be in, to be honest? I think the Orange Bowl between Georgia and Florida State.
It's going
to
get over 21. I mean, this is talk about a runaway train.
Yeah.
No belief in Rodemaker?
Well,
the committee didn't believe.
Nobody believed. Will Kirby and the boys want to put up a big number here in a statement? I don't know. I mean, if they're up 27-3 and who's playing the fourth string playing in this? I mean, I don't know. Oh, it's just maybe it's a first half bet on Georgia. Other than that, I can't get involved here.
Yeah, I can't get involved either. I mean, what they boycotted the press conference at the very beginning. And you want to try to back motivation if you can. You want to try to back coaching if you can. But you know, the other element or the elephant in the room for me is engagement from the players. I mean, I remember playing for two national championships in South Beach and we had a ball. We had a blast.
It's a fun time down there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So I mean, I can't be involved at all in this game.
Yeah. And that's from experience, you can draw back.
We
on
went
that.
South Beach, North Beach, to Fort Lauderdale. We were all over place, and that was for national championship games.
Man,
you practiced on Christmas Day.
I practiced on Christmas Day.
But you were dialed in at practice, though.
Yes, we were. We had to get it out of our system.
Had the extracurriculars going.
Well, there's a 2 week kind of build up to it, right? And so we went out there early and got it out of our system. And then we had game week, but I mean, this is a bowl game between these two teams, which I don't know how much they're going to care about this thing.
They've been hanging out at the Fountain Blue.
Probably.
In Miami.
Probably. We'll see what happens between Georgia and Florida State. Obviously, Florida State disappointed to be in this game. Georgia also disappointed since they said, hey, if you power rate the teams, we should be in the playoff. Unfortunately, they don't do it that way, and they didn't make the playoffs. So we'll see if Georgia puts a big number on them. The market seems to think so, as it's a 20-point spread with 44.5 as the total. That does it for hour number one. Hour number two, we go back to the professional gridiron here on the Lombardi Line.